One person was complaining to me about the topics decisions that he's limited what he's allowed to do now in work between shaking women's hands, checking personal emails, and the other topics we've discussed. So I apologize for limiting anyone's enjoyment in the workforce, but this is halacha. We have to see what the halacha tells us. See, by the way, this is the last shir for the Sundays before the summer. We'll, Mi'ush Hashem, continue after the summer, September time, Elul time or so. But this will be the last one. We apologize for those who had complaints. We appreciate the complaints. But, okay. Suggestion. Let's begin with the famous Gemara in Shabbos, Daf Lamed Aleph. The Gemara tells us, Amar Rava, B'shashim achnisin adam ladin, when a person goes to Bezdin Shemala, to Yom Hadin, Omrim lo, there are a few questions we ask him. In the famous Gemara, the very first question that we are going to be asked is, Nasasa v'nasata be'emuna. Did we do business in a emuna dika way? Did we do it in a trustworthy way? Were we honest in our business? And only after asking that question, the Gemara asks, or the Bez and Shemal is going to ask us, were you kovei itim b'torah? Were you osek b'pir rivya? Were you tzipisal Yeshua? Papalta b'chachma? Hevanta davar mitoch davar? All these very important things of learning Torah, kovei itim. But the very first question we get asked, which again is well known, is whether or not you did business honestly. So let's discuss this morning about checking one's personal email, as just one example, but other things, going to minyan, benching, eating, davening, what is permitted, if anything, during the workday. So the number two, the Gemara tells us in Brachos Daf Tes Zayin Amud Aleph, quotes a Braisa Tani Rabbanan, Ha'umnim korin berosha ilan berosha nidvach. The workers are, let's say, started early before sunrise, and it's Zman Kriyashma. So wherever they are, up in the tree, so they daven in the tree, they say Shema in the tree. Umispalin berosha zayis berosha teina. And if they have to daven, they daven also up there while they're in the tree. And shar kol ilanos, other types of trees which are not so strong, which might get a little bit scary to daven for 8 minutes or so up in the tree. So then the Gemara says, Yordin limata umispalin. So then you're allowed to come down and daven. But the reason why you stay up on top for the other tree is because of the they're strong enough to hold you and won't scare you, because otherwise you're wasting time by going down and then coming back up. But so then the Gemara says, the Baal HaBayis though, bein bekach, the employer, whether it's this type of tree or that type of tree, he's yored lemata umispal, he must go down to daven. Why? Lefish ein daito miusheves alav, his das is not so settled. What does that mean? His das isn't settled. Says the Rashi number three, mibau suso, he's scared. Everyone's scared to daven up in a tree, to shuckle or say Shema. Everyone's scared to do that. But we're makel when it comes to workers. Why are we makel when it comes to workers? Because we allow the kula for the workers. Even though the workers might be a little bit scared to daven up there, we're makel that they shouldn't come down back and forth because it's bitul malacha. It's on their employer's time. We don't want to take away from the employer's time, but lo hikilu etza ba'abayis, the employer who's working for himself, it's his own decision. So we're not going to say you could be makel and daven up in the tree like a quick 2 minutes from an esrei because you're scared. Since it's your profession, it's your farm, you should walk down. You'll take a couple minutes to go down, a couple minutes to go up. But for a worker, again, we're concerned with bita malacha. Even just a few seconds, a few minutes, we're so sensitive, you're supposed to stay up in the tree unless it's dangerous to daven up there. So this is the first source we have, how sensitive we are to bita malacha. A person shouldn't be allowed to daven during work, but to go across the street and catch a minion, go up to another floor in your building, at this stage it sounds like a person should not do that. They should daven in their office, find a nice corner somewhere nearby, and daven there. But the Shulchan Aruch says, nowadays things are different. Nowadays the Mechaber writes in number four, V'ha idna, ein derech lahakbid bekach. The employers are not so makbid. When the employer hires you, there's an understanding, even though it's not said, that he's going to let you take off to go to the mincha down the block or up in a different floor in your building. It's understood for 10, 12 minutes, however long it is. That's understood. Now, again, this is understood if the employer is Jewish or if he has other Jewish employees where he knows that 2:15, everyone goes out to the daven. That's his. But let's say you're working for a small company and he's not aware of this, so it sounds like maybe you should let him know, Or you could lump it together with your lunch break. But this, so according to the simple understanding of Shulchan Aruch, he writes, Ha'idna ein derech l'hakbid b'kach. These 10, 15 minutes is not something the employer is so bothered by.
I'd rather not hire a Jew for certain jobs because it's annoying when they have to come in and out and you can get a goy. So it's not so push it. They should make a rule. It's not so push it that maybe you should daven over there and not take 15 minutes.
We'll see.
Why hire these guys?
That's, so when the noble doesn't hire non-smokers, they go out to smoke for 15 minutes.
Okay, interesting. So again, I don't know this. The industries.
If you're in TV
but,
and you're in video, you work for CNN. You know, people are like, could you take a break? What do you mean take a break? We have to work. But, we have air. Right. This is not like coffee breaks.
So could be it depends on the industry. So it might take a look at Mishnah Berurah. Look what we'll do a couple more. The Mishnah Berurah talks about your case. Let's say the employer is makpid in your case. Jump to number 5 for a second though. Number 5, the Magid of Am writes. Hu adin sheyelchu lebeis haknesses lispalel ba'asara in the minyan v'heichad enag nag. So he said you're also allowed to go. If there's no minyan in your office, you could go down the block to a minyan. So when I was working in PricewaterhouseCoopers on 42nd and Madison Street, so there was a Chabad down on 42nd Street. I used to walk there. I took a little bit of extra time there. I learned a little bit also and turned my lunch break, my 15-minute mincha, into like a 45-minute, but that was my lunch break. I went there, I learned a little bit, and I came back. But my grandfather was. Yeah, sure. So the Magen Avraham writes that a person can go even to Kechap a Minyan, let alone just to daven on his own, but also to be part of a Minyan is permitted as well. But then he concludes, number 5, Heicha d'nahig nahig. That's only when it's practiced that way, so then you could continue that practice, implying if there's a place where this was not part of the custom, where the employer wouldn't allow you to take off, so then it's much more limited what you're capable of doing. So just like a person could go to the bathroom, you could daven quickly, but to leave the office to chap a minyan might not be so clear. So a person could use the bathroom even when use it working in CNN. So make a quick shmoneh esrei and then go for a smoke, whatever that is. You could take a few minutes, but don't have a 35-minute shmoneh esrei. You have to have your on someone else's clock here. So that's what the Mishnah Berurah writes in number 6. Hu adin. Kol nusach ha-tfila kishar kol adam. You're allowed to daven the entire tefila. Don't like jump out and miss chazar tashat and miss aleinu and tachanin, chap the kedush and leave. You should daven the entire tefila. V'kasav halecham chamudos. Tehu adin, as we saw in the Megad Ram, that a person's allowed to go catch a minyan in the shul. But again, the Mishnah Berurah writes, v'davka b'makum she'ein derech balabatim lahakpid b'kach. It's only true if the employer really is not makbid. But if he is makbid, if he cares that you're taking off so much, so then you have to, again, minimize the time of what you're taking off. For that, this is all for davening.
So, you know, there are yeshivas that need a vacation answer. Are you based on this that they shouldn't do that? Because nobody's makbid under the
contract. Correct. It sounds like if the employer is not makbid, it sounds like one should not do hecha kedusha. It sounds like that from this. Yeah, so yeah, that's a good topic. Another, maybe after the summer we could do that as a different topic. But no, you're right. It became the minute because it takes away from learning time. But okay, that's all about it when it comes to davening. Now let's move to
benching in there.
Benching's in the very next one.
Uh-oh.
Benching, the Gemara says, and Brachos addresses this as well. Number 7, this is found in Maseches Brachos Daf Tes Zayin. The Gemara says, Apoalim shehayu osin melacha etzel abal habayis. You're working at someone else's factory. Koren kriyashma, you're allowed to say shma there. Umevarchen lefaneh, ulacharea. You could say the bracha before and after shema. Veochlin pison, you could eat the bread. Umevarchen lefaneh, ulacharea. You say hamotzi beforehand, and you say a full benching after you've eaten your meal. But then later on, jumping down to the next bold in this same source, Batanya, doesn't the Braisa say, Hapoalim shayu osim lach etza ba'abai, is jumping one more line, Mevarchen lachare only shtayim? You only say 2 brachas for benching. You don't say all 4. How do you get 2 brachas out of benching? So the Gemara explains, Ketad, bracha rishona kitikuna, and shnia poseach bebirchas haaretz, v'kolim bone yushlaim uvirchas haaretz. You say the regular first bracha normally, and numbers 2 and 3, you combine together, you have some hybrid of those second, third, and brachas being 1 second bracha entirely, and you skip the 4th bracha. That's the Gemara suggestion. The Gemara says, depending on which type of worker you are, I'm not addressing that point. But what's the reason? How could they take benching and cut off the last 2 brachas? The last 1 entirely, and combine numbers 2 and 3 together. How is that permitted? Isn't benching a mitzvah deraisa? So look at Tosa's right to number 8. Tosa says, Afagav, the deraisa heim, even though the first three brachas are deraisa, the fourth one isn't. The first three are. So how could you take 2 and 3 and change the nusach and combine it into one? Yesh koach b'yad chachamim lakor davar min haTorah. The rabbis have the ability to uproot a din deraisa, such as benching. And why? Hol v'trudin b'mleches bal habayis, since they're involved in working for someone else. So if I had to ask you, what's the explanation for this? What does that? What does Tosas mean? Hol v'trudin b'mleches bal habayis, since they're involved in the work for someone else. Why is that a basis to cut off working?
Techil Hashem.
Hashem could be. They don't say that here. That's not. I don't, that could be. That could be an interpretation. Techil Hashem, maybe. What does he mean by this?
Well, so first and foremost, the whole idea of the benching is daraisa, but the neschos that they put together is darbanan, is the mincha chachamim, right? So therefore, even with the first one, Hazan HaSakol, I can't touch. But the second and third, perhaps that I can condense it and put it together.
Is this the rabbanim?
They also no, it's still daraisa. They made the nusach and they set up that text. Therefore, they also have the right maybe to work it and change it differently. And then the other tzad, what the Rav is saying is that maybe it's mitzad geneva, that they cannot take from the zman of balabais.
Ah, so
it's the daraisa and daraisa.
So I think that would be the simple understanding, because when the Tosfos says hol v'trudim b'mleches balabais, you're involved in his work, you're stealing from him if you have a long benching. But look what Tosfos Rush writes. Tosfos Rush in number 9, the next page, says, you know why? And this is similar to what you're suggesting about trying to get a job. It says number 9, yesh koach b'yad chachamim, l'sakein u'l'katzer brachos l'palim. Why? K'dei shi'es chirum b'alei abatim. Because if I know the frum guy of the yarmulke is going to be davening and benching for 45 minutes, I'm not going to hire him. I'll hire the guy who doesn't daven at all. So if you want to get hired and make some money here, so you should really abridge your benching, abridge your tefillah a little bit. So what Tosfos and Tosfos Rush are saying here, which is an amazing point, that for the purpose of a parnasa, you're allowed to be, the chacham will be oker davar min haTorah in order to help a person get hired. That's what Tosfos in essence is saying.
Very slippery slope.
Very slippery slope. Once when I was in the YU's Kol HaElyon, we have the other Thursday, we had a lunch and learn, and different speakers would come. Some a little bit to the right, some a little bit to the left. So we had some guy who was a professor at Bar-Ilan, or one of the Hebrew University, and he was trying to give a whole mahalich that how important is Hefzid Mamun, which it is, but he was saying how it should override so many different mitzvahs and so many halachas, and he brought a couple of rayas for this, and he thought Hefzid Mamun override everything in the world, which was crazy. It's a very slippery slope, and we all were attacking him in different cases where the Ramah says you're allowed to if there are two dayas, and there's Hefzid Mamun, so you can make it on the one daya. But if there's one daya, to use Hefzid Mamun and to uproot a whole din is not true. But we see from this Tosfos, Tosfos Rush, that for Parnasa, to allow a person to get hired and make money, you could abridge the benching, which is an amazing, amazing concept.
Because
of Hefzid Mamun, right.
They would get hired, or they would think that they might have more.
Right.
You know, no.
It's not a mitzvah deraisa, but that would be even more so a good reason to not wear yarmulke. If a person will really,
you know, like when I first started working 40 years ago, the big four firms don't.
Yeah, exactly. If people ask me about, you know, wearing yarmulkes or like shaving during Sfira or during 9 days, I said, I have a question for you. Do you have any coworkers who have ear piercings and tattoos all over the body and colored hair? So,
you can't know about that, because that they feel they cannot touch. Religion, in the real world, if you can't talk to anybody about that, the two and the fact that you're coming in all open for
Yeah, but what, a beard? The guys have, hipsters have beards all the time.
Some people are very mocked on religious things. I mean, like this whole burqa thing, whatever it is. But
beards, actually, I want to be a hipster today, and I don't have tattoos and earrings, but I want to have a hip, so...
As long as you don't make them look religious, they're okay.
So I tell the guys, you could go to where, if the guys in your firm, they allow beards and tattoos and piercings, you could grow a beard during three weeks. Right, so that's my mahalach. But again, it's been a few years since I last worked professionally, but from the little I know, things have changed a lot.
So when Trump went to visit the congressman in the hospital, so outside,
I saw that. I saw that. Yeah.
Say that again.
Yeah.
Doctor Yam comes here by the hospital.
Okay. Fine. Let's go weiter. Number 10. The Rambam writes in Hilchos Schiros a different approach. This is what I think Aaron was suggesting this. Why is it permitted to abridge benching? Not because what Tosis Rush was saying to allow a person to get a job and to get hired, but the simple understanding is, I think, the Rambam writes Hilchos Schiros Perek Gimel Halacha Zayin Kederech Shemuzar Balabayis Shlo Yigzal Schar Ani V'lo Yakvenu. The employer is not allowed to hold back any of the money he owes, any of the wages that he holds the worker. He must pay him on time. Kach so too it works the flip. Ha'ani muzar shelo yigzam lechas ba'al bayis. The ani, the worker, can take the time from working for the ba'al bayis. V'yivatel me'at bekan, u'me'at bekan. Take a couple minute break here, a 2 minute break there, go for a smoke, get some water, get some snacks, go to eat. U'motikol yom b'mimrin. The whole time he's busy texting and emailing and he's playing games with the employer. El'chayiv ledaktek al'atzmo. He has to be very, very careful on the way he acts and the time he puts in. Bizman sheharei hikbidu al bracha revius shel birchas hamazon shelo yivarech osa. What's the proof that Rambam holds that you have to be very careful with time? The very fact that the Chacham say you don't say the fourth bracha benching because you're on someone else's time, so to everything else you do during the day for davar rishus and checking emails and text messages, also you can't take away time from the employer. Just like the Chacham says no fourth bracha, you can't take their time away, certainly when it comes to a davar rishus. But Shulchan Aruch comes to save the day a little bit. Shulchan Aruch writes in number 12, this is in Hilchos B'tzias HaPas, in Birkas HaMazon, Kuf Tzadi Aleph. V'ha'idna, nowadays, it's based on the Gemara, number 11, the Beis Yosef quotes the Gemara, but I'm just going to read the bottom line. Ha'idna, nowadays, says the Mechaber, li'olam mevarachin kol arba brachos. Nowadays, we say all four paragraphs of benching. She'ein derech b'nei adam achshav l'hakbid b'kach. They don't really care that much. Let's be honest, how much longer is that fourth bracha going to be? I mean, for us, a few seconds. Halavai, it's maybe 60 seconds if we really have kavana, but it's not really that long for us. A few extra seconds, I don't think the employer is going to be makbid, and therefore you can and should say all four brachas of benching even when at work. What's interesting is the Piskei Tshuvos raises the shiloh, what about the harachamans? Could a person say the harachamans or not? Or maybe just the first four brachas? So number 13, the Piskei Tshuvos raises the suffix. He says, Yesh listapik im ha-harachaman bichlal. When we have the heter of benching, a full benching of four brachas, does that include the harachaman? Kevin shekach min hagan shel kol yisrael levarach. That's been our practice. The harachaman is not brought anywhere in the Gemara. It's a later institution based on Rishonim, but we say it. So should a person say that as well? O dilma ein hadvar ma'amurim ela ad li'olam ayichasreinu. Shu'achiv mitikun chazal. Or maybe you should only say until the end of the fourth bracha, ayichasreinu, and nothing more, because you have to say four brachas. Harachamans are nice brachas to include, but on someone else's time, maybe you shouldn't. He leaves as a tzarech in. My understanding would be you should say it unless you're really in a rush. If you're in a real rush, you have to work someone else's time and they have a business deal to take care of, so then you could go skip the harachamans. But typically speaking, if you're not in a rush, one should say the harachamans.
Did they ever suggest a simple solution of trying to avoid bread during the week and so you don't have to say such long brachas at work?
No, I didn't see that suggestion. A person should eat what he wants to eat. No, I haven't seen that suggested.
What if somebody says, okay, I spent 15 minutes extra, whatever I did, so I'll stay 15 minutes extra.
Yeah, as long as the employer's okay with the amount of work you're putting in, that would be fine. You take off here and add at the end, that seemingly would be okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah. On your point, by the way, just to remind me of a story, a sad story I shared with a couple of guys in shul. Maybe you were even there, I think, at that time, about a person having bread all the time, or not having bread. So I heard the opposite story. There's a kid, Rosh Hashanah was telling me, a kid who was an NCSY kola who came from a non-religious background. He didn't grow up religious. And he was getting more religious, went to NCSY kola in the summers. And his parents would refuse to give him any kosher food. So treif meat and treif everything. And he was very uncomfortable saying a bracha on treif meat. So he decided he's going to wash it every single meal. So the bracha he'll be saying will be on the bread, and the benching will be on the bread, and he won't have to say bracha on the treif meat he ate during that meal. That's Mesiras Nefesh. Amazing. Okay, so the Gemara now says, not the Gemara, we are Aruch HaShulchan rather. Aruch HaShulchan. Number 14. V'im afilo yomar achar kach kishemakbid. We could actually skip this Aruch HaShulchan. Let's jump to the Mesiras Yesharim, the Ramchal. Ramcha writes something very, very powerful. Ramcha writes in number 15, he's talking about the Indian of Midas HaNekiyas, being clean, having a clean slate. He says, I'm reading just the bold as we go through this piece. Kvar amarti shehu lios naki mikol anfi ahaveros. The person has to be very careful to have a clean slate from all types of averos, even the anfi averos, even the branches, the subcategories of averos. And he quotes the Gemara in Chagiga, a scary Gemara, that gezel v'arayos nafshol shel adam mecham dasan u'misav lehem. These two isurim, people are very much drawn towards. So he writes in regards to gezela, v'inei nachnu ro'im, we see with our own eyes, Shapa Pishlo Rov Bnihadam Ganavim Begalihem, even though outwardly most people are not Ganavim, you look around, most of us are not Ganavim, I would hope. But still, jumping down to the next bold, to the last three lines of the page here, Kfar Patdu Asapalim Haosin Eta Balbayas, we already exempted the workers from having to say Birchas Hamotzi, when Birchas Achronis did Birchas Hamazon, Afil Kriyashma, Lo Chayavim Levatim Imlachtan, El Parsha Rishon Bavad. They don't have to stop working only to say the first Parsha Shema. So all these different kulas we have of not saying the fourth bracha and combining the second and third brachas, all of that, Kal v'chomer ben beno shel kal v'chomer l'davar rishus. Certainly, a person should not take off any time to do a davar rishus, to check an email, to text, check a text. Shekol sachir yom, aser bahen, anyone who's hired to work for the day is aser, shelo levatel melachtel shel bal habayis, not to take away his time, he's paying you. Vim avar hareze gazlan, that's where we see the din. How could the Gemara say we all have a taiva for ganavim? None of us are robbers. We are because we're being paid to do something and we're not working a full 60 minutes. And it brings a proof from Abba Chilkia. Gemara and Tainus talks about an interesting episode I'm not going to go through now. But in essence, Chacham went to Abba Chilkia. He was, I think, the son or grandson of Choni Amagel. I don't remember which one. And they wanted him to daven for rain. Choni Amagel, the famous Maisi, brought the rain. So Abba Chilkia had the same koach to daven for rain. So they met him, and he ignored the rabbis. They followed him home. He did all these interesting things along the way. He got to his house. He ignored the rabbis, went to the roof, and they davened, and the rain came. And among the many questions he had asked, they had asked Abba Chilkia why you did this and why you did that. They asked, why didn't you say hello to us? And he says, because I was working for an employer, and I can't take time even to say hello to the rabbis, let alone text messages and emails. So he says in the next bold line here in the Mesilas Yesharim, Ma Yanu Eifo Haoskim Banoseihem. What are the people who are going involved in their getting a Hana Bishas Malacha Ubetelem Mimenu? While they're on the job, they're getting Hana doing various things, whatever that might be. What are they going to say? O Kiyasku Bechapseim Ish Lebatso. When you're working for someone, you have to work entirely for him with the full Machshava. To do other things along the way, that would be considered Gzela. So klal shadavar, yeah.
What about it's referring to skill yom? Is there a difference between an hourly employee and a salaried employee who's just expected to do, certain?
Yeah, but even a salaried employee is expected to put a number of hours in, even though you're not being paid per the hour, not billing per hour necessarily. He expects you to be there 40 hours. That's what it's based off of.
Do you expect to, if you're salaried like an executive, you expect to be there longer?
Right.
You're going to get the stuff done.
I mean, today's the right. Day, people work from home sometimes.
It's a different arrangement. So then if they work from home, then it might depend whether you're billing per hour or just you're getting the project done. If it's about getting the project done, they don't care what you're doing, so then this wouldn't apply at all. But if you're being paid per hour, and even a salary might be paid on an annual hourly basis, then you would have to be very careful.
That's why my employer incorporates filters into the internet.
Yeah, for sure, yeah.
You know, the other problem is my son was learning the idea of, the rabbi knows the terms, but when you learn in a row, and they use the mashal of boiling water, if you stop boiling the water, then you stop boiling the water, and you stop boiling the water,
right.
You'll never get it heated up. You better do it all in a row. So it's the same thing with work. You start, stop, start, stop. It's not only the time you take
right.
out.
So I would argue,
it's the constant interruptions.
So I would argue in that. First, for me personally, and for I heard other industries have such an Indian, they like breaks, actually. When you have more frequent breaks, it gets them to restart. It's like taking a little nap in the day.
Yeah, but it's after a certain amount of time.
So I don't know.
They say there are studies being done now that the concentration for people is like...
That's granted. You don't need studies for that. That's obvious.
It's
but
like,
but there are different structures of different businesses. I think Google, for example, has a lot of things that are open to just stay and take breaks and go play a game or go eat or go... But the what?
It's because they're gazillionaires.
Right. I'm saying, but no, but the breaks are very helpful to get restarted. Yeah,
no,
helps.
I said because Google is gazillionaires.
Yeah,
that's why
right.
But is there, every this coffee, you should this work bar, this game over there.
I'm saying lawyers,
right.
If they leave a message, they're not charged a 16th of an hour, so they actually bill for more than an hour.
Right.
Then
that's a billing point. I'm not sure.
So that means they can take off some extra time because I'm still going
for an hour. Yeah, I don't know. I'm not sure how it works if they speak to lawyers, how they're allowed to bill for more than an hour. But I don't know. We're talking about when you're working for someone else and expecting 60 minutes and you're putting only 45 minutes in, so that would be Geneva. But again, unless it's one of these places that 47 minutes per the hour, that's how they like it with these breaks in, that's a whole other story. So for me, example, the way I like learning like that also, I like learning like broken up choppy. If Weinberg and I have mentioned this in the past, we have very different mahalchim in how do we learn. Obviously, his is more successful than mine, but the way I learn with music. I like to have the background music in my earphones on or just on the computer. I like the distraction. I must have ADD, so I like the distraction to help me keep focus. Rav Weinberg, on the other hand, likes to learn with earplugs in, but no music, just earplugs. He likes the complete silence. Silence. And he said the reason why he likes that is because when he grew up in his house, it was always quiet, like a library. Anything above a whisper was considered yelling in his house. So everything was always quiet. So he's used to quiet. And also, when you put your fingers in your ear or earplugs and you whisper, you could actually hear your voice better. It's louder. And when you hear yourself learn, it helps you remember much better as well. So he's doing a lot of the right things. I'm not. But also, again, working, there's different ways. People like to work, 6 hours straight. And some people like to have it very choppy. Different things, break, work, break, work, break, work.
It's definitely proven that it's more productive to
break. At least this time, but in 10 years it's going to be a different study. So it's always changing, different times, different generations.
If you ask a lot of people in high places, they say there's no such thing as multitasking, and the most you have to focus on what you're doing.
Okay, fine. Let's go to the last paragraph of this Mesilas Yesharim here. Yeah, not true? Okay. V'lo od, not only that. Lo od ela shafilu imasa mitzvah bizman lachto. This is very important for those who think they're very frum. That the person shouldn't even do a mitzvah while they're working, like listening to a shir while you're working. You can't focus at work and a shir at the same time. V'lo litztaka techashiv lo. It's not called litztaka or a mitzvah when you're doing that. I'm so frum because I can listen to a shir while I'm doing work. That's not a mitzvah. That's an avera. Shein avera mitzvah. That's not going to work as a mitzvah. When you're on the job working, you need to focus on your work. If you happen to be doing a job that's just pressing a button, so then you can listen to shir at the same time, that's fine. But if you need some level of focus, mental focus, it's impossible unless you're the, Rav Chaim Ozer, who is known to write two tshuvas at the same time. So none of us here, I don't think, are capable of writing a tshuva or listening to a shir and doing working in a spreadsheet. So that would be an avera, not a mitzvah. What about eating on the job? So many places, I imagine, have a lunch break they grant you. I imagine that's, I'm not sure if it's obligated or not, but a lunch break. So what's Halacha's perspective of a lunch break? So there's a Mishnah, B'Metzia Daf Tzadi Aleph. The Mishnah talks about various things of when you're working, what you could eat. But just look at the bold for a second. When you should do the eating, the Mishnah says, Po'alin ochlin behalichasan mi'uman la'uman. When they're working, you're going from one employer to the next employer. Let's say you work a couple hours for one guy, then a couple hours for another guy, and you're traveling along the way. So you're turning back from the wine press or the olive press. That's when you're supposed to be eating. Why, says the Rambam in Perish Mishnayos? Very simple. It's better for them to eat when they're traveling from one worker to one employer to another employer. Why? Because at that point you're not doing any work. You're traveling on the train, on the subway. They have to eat it. You can't hold them back from eating. So if you have to make a decision, when's the most opportune time to eat? It's much better to be eating when you're on break. And not doing on the job, eat while you're on the job. V'zela tovas b'al habayis. So you have to be careful to not eat while you're working for the b'al habayis. Now, this case is different than it is nowadays. If a guy's out in the field and you're busy cutting off grapes and olives, hard to eat with one hand and, you know, pick grapes with the other hand. But nowadays, I think when you're at the on a desk, it's probably much easier to take a bite and type, take a bite, make a phone call. That might be easier. So I don't think this would necessarily apply. If they're eating a lunch will not negatively impact your work, then seemingly one would be allowed to do this. Especially a person, we don't travel during the day like this. If a guy happens to go for a meeting at 12 o'clock and runs in an Uber to get to his meeting, then he could hop in a lunch in the Uber. But this is not so common, and therefore I think a person either takes his lunch break, or he could work on the job, eat on the job rather, and I don't think this would really take away from any of his productivity. Now, another interesting din here brought down Shulchan Aruch just about being sensitive to the employer, the zman you're giving the employer, and the amount of time and effort. There's a halacha brought down in Shulchan Aruch Choshen Mishpat number 18 here. It's found in Simin Shin Lamed Zayin. Shulchan Aruch writes at Ein Hapoel Rashai Lasos Melacha Belaila Ulahaskir Atmo Bayom. A very, very important din for a person who takes two jobs, a day job and a night job, not much time to sleep. So he's not allowed to do this. A person shouldn't starve himself and afflict himself. Why? Now, I'm not sure what's going to be if a person can't live off of one job, he needs two jobs. But just typically, let's say a person has enough parnassa for one job to take a second job and you come into work exhausted like a zombie. You hold back from eating, you're on a diet, you're not able to function, and all these types of things. That's another way of stealing, not from time, but from the quality of work you're going to be doing for the Baal Habayis. Sharei machlish kocha, you're weakening yourself. So you chalathas melechas Baal Habayis bekoch, you can't serve him and work for him properly. I think that we should go the same way. A person who overeats and a guy who's overweight and not healthy, doesn't have the energy and the time and the strength to do it, that would also probably be under this category of really taking care of a person's self so that he's able to work for the employer properly.
But that wouldn't apply to a tiny
tzibor,
right?
Correct. A tiny tzibor would not apply, correct. But it does come up when a tiny tzibor for a Talmud Chacham, the Gemara talks about if it's going to take away from his learning. So if there's a tiny tzibor that they, not a one of the set ones that we have, but they took it by themselves because of lack of rain, they made a tiny tzibor. So the Gemara says a Talmud Chacham, if it's going to take away from his learning, then he shouldn't necessarily be involved in that tiny.
You decide, I need the bath for whatever reason. I mean, then you're not allowed to do that.
It seems like you'd have to ask a shaila, because if you cannot produce the type of work you're expected to, you probably would have to ask a shaila whether you're allowed to.
So you should probably, let's say Tisha B'Av, you're saying you have to fast. And if you're going to run slower that day and not function well, you should technically make it one of your days off.
Yeah.
Because otherwise you're
stealing. You shouldn't go to, in the first place, if you're able to, you shouldn't go to work on Tisha B'Av as it is. If a person has to go in,
right.
So you have to...
No, but I'm saying you have to make that one of your days off, because you can't...
If you can, but not everyone has that flexibility. But yeah. All right, so you did a mechza, tiny b'mechza. Okay, one interesting halacha comes out of this whole discussion is we're talking about doing mitzvahs or other things doing work. But what about doing work while doing a mitzvah? The opposite. While you're doing a mitzvah, saying a bracha benching, are you allowed to do work while you're benching at the same time? So the Beis Yosef, based on a question, says the following. Number 19, he says, what we can learn from this halacha, I mean, why didn't the Gemara suggest, why not work while you're benching? Say Shema, and do the work and collect the olives and the grapes and while you're benching, and why wasn't that a suggestion? So the very fact that it wasn't suggested, says the Beis Yosef in number 19, Mehacha mashma de'osir levarich b'shas asiyas melacha. You cannot say a bracha while you're doing any type of maisa. And it's brought down in Shulchan Aruch, Simin Kuf Tadi Aleph, Osir la'asos melacha, when you're benching, where you're saying a bracha, any type of mitzvah, you cannot do any maisa. So the Taz takes us another level, number 21. And bevadai bechol ha-mitzvahs lo yaseh osam ve'osek b'davar achet. This applies to every single mitzvah. Saying asher yotza, saying netilas yadayim, learning, kizehu mora al tiyasa mitzvah b'li kavana. If you're saying asher yotza and you're walking down the hallway, you're clearly not having any focus. Ela derech harai, you're saying it as like a, just a a raya, happenstance, umikra, vizeh bechlal, b'maimer, very scary, torsenu, this is what's included in the pasuk, vim telchi, telchu imi bekeri. You walk imi bekeri, which says the Gemarashi, b'derech akrai, you're not really taking me seriously, says HaKadosh Baruch Hu. V'afilu telchi mi, even if you're walking with me, says the Taz. Dahainu asiyas mitzvah, you're holding my hand, you're doing a mitzvah. You're saying ashi yatzer, mikol makom, hi b'derech mikra. You're saying this and just walking and not paying attention to me. Varai, and nearly, shebechlal iser that included in this, yesh gamkein, shelo lasak b'torah b'osa shah. When you're saying a bracha, don't be learning the Mishabru, I'm saying ashi yatzer, and you're reading this at the same time. That's also going to be aser, ki zeh gorim gamkein, al dinzeh, shi al tzad ha-mikra.
Benching and driving, no
good. What's the
So this whole very good whole it's very much connected to this. Really, one should not learn during Chazat Hashas. That's very clear, very clear. It brought down Chavetz Chaim in the Shibura. Changing Rabbeinu Tam's tefillin during Chazat Hashas is not also it's not so clear, but it's the practice of many to do so. That Rizal, if you remember the Shirim we had earlier in the year, he says that actually there's a big inyon to dafka change during Chazat Hashas Rabbeinu Tam's tefillin. So that you have you chap a Shmona Esrei wearing Rabbeinu Tam Tefillin. Because if you only change it after davening, you never daven the Shmona Esrei with Rabbeinu Tam Tefillin. So at least if you change it during Chazar Sashatz, you've chapped Chazar Sashatz as part of it, wearing Rabbeinu Tam Tefillin. But other than that, one should not be osik in anything else during Chazar Sashatz. Interesting, yeah.
If you put Rabbeinu Tam during Chazar Sashatz, you're only chapping a fraction, you're not really chapping a second.
But at least you get something. It's brought down, again, it's a practice of many, and that's how they explain the practice, one of the explanations for such a practice. If one is able to, it's better to do it after davening. But if a person's running, or whatever the reason might be, then they could do it even during Chazar Tashatz. But you're right, learning during Chazar Tashatz should be prohibited. Now, the interesting tshuva, a shayla they bring up here in the Dirshu, on Simon Kuf Tzadi Aleph, could a person fold his talus up while saying Shir Shal Yom? So the Mishabur already writes, a person should not fold a talus up while hearing Kaddish, you should focus. But what about saying Shir Shal Yom? So it's brought down here of the Tshuvos Shlomo Salmas Chaim that one does not have to be makbid, and you would be able to say follow the talis while saying Shir Shayom.
But Aleinu,
is that different or the same? He doesn't address it. My guess would be it would be different because Aleinu is a very very big tefillah. It's a very powerful tefillah. I would imagine, even though many are makil, myself included, for that matter. It sounds like it probably would be best not to follow the talis up while saying Aleinu and Kaddish as well. He talks about the whole Indian, which I'm not going to get involved with, but what about drying the hands and saying Netilas Yadayim? That's doing a ma'isa while saying the bracha. So ideally, a person should really say the bracha and then dry the hands afterwards. So that's ideal, but many of us would dry the hands while saying Netilas Yadayim. He brings some explanations why that would be permitted, but ideally, you should not dry your hands during the Netilas Yadayim because the bracha should be focused strictly on the bracha. What? Exactly, right. Exactly. So, and if you dry the hands at the same time, that would be a violation of this particular issue.
It has to be over Las Yassim in the sense that it has to be as close as possible.
Correct. If your hands are dried already, then you almost lost the bracha. During the drying, it's already close enough, but you're still doing a maisa during the bracha, which should be avoided. Let's finish off with two powerful pieces, one from the Meiri and one from the Aruch HaShulchan. Now, some divrei Musar in strengthening our observance of keeping our focus during work. The Meiri writes, this is in Baba Kama, we did this sugya last week, Baba Kama, the very last daf. So the Meiri writes in number 23, Val HaKol Yizahir Adam Lios Melachta Bemuna. Person has to be very, very careful that his work is done with tremendous honesty. Shein Lo La'adam El Hashem Tov. The only thing a person has in life is his reputation. And his reputation really is drawn out from the way he works. Umaisav shaladam, his pulos, his maisim. Me'idim lo bom hazeh. All his actions in this world are going to testify for him in the world to come. V'danin osa liom haba, no actions are going to judge him. So ashe misha gadol b'shem tov. Praiseworthy is he who has raised up a beautiful reputation for himself. Umisha yomer alav al tov palusav, and the person who said about him what wonderful actions he has. V'halach lifanecha tzidkecha kavod Hashem yasvecha. So this he's giving us chizik that if a person works properly, forget about everything else. Just work properly for your employer. That's going to give you tremendous shem tov in your work. It's a tremendous kiddush Hashem. It's going to take it with you to Olam Haba. Aruch HaShulchan writes in Choshen Mishpat, we could skip the first few parts here, just the last few lines here via Idna. Nowadays, ein makpidim bekach, we're not so careful about different halachas. Nowadays, they hire us with the understanding we're going to go daven mincha, kol seder tefila, without cutting any corners. Nonetheless, even though they are coolest to bench a full benching and to daven a full davening, we could still learn a very important yesod here. Kama chiv al hapoel lasos malachto bemuna. How important it is for the worker to work with great emuna. Umeod meod srichem apolin lizar bazeh. He's be so careful. Va yipol lev hapol alav. Don't let his heart fall, if you will. De gedola mlacha misha osel so bemuna. How powerful is the mlacha that a person does when he does it in a derech emuna? And listen to this last line. We'll stop with this last line. Vamru Chazal, Chaviva Malacha Mizuchus Avos. Greater is your Malacha Bemuna than it is for the Zuchus Avos that we have. She Zuchus Avos Hatzil Mimamon. That Zuchus Avos protects us from loss of money, but Malacha Hatzilu Nefashos. Doing a Malacha Bemuna protects our nefashos, protects our body and our life. So Amir Hashem, it'll be a long summer ahead of us. Hopefully we'll still have many learning, a lot of learning going on. But all the work we should be doing, we should be derech emunah, until we bring the Gula Shem Amitas, Meher V'Yameinu, Amen.